Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Hello, and welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. This episode, you're going to hear about this month's new releases in Christian romantic suspense. I hope you will enjoy hearing from your favorite romantic suspense authors as they talk about the background of their latest books.
I am delighted to welcome Marissa Masterson to my show. She is going to talk about her latest romantic suspense, Limburger and Larceny. So welcome to my show, Marissa.
I'm so thankful for this opportunity to meet you, Sarah, for the first time, really, and also to connect with your listeners. Limburger
Great.
So and Larceny.
Yeah, let's get started about your heroine. So what does she keep hidden from everyone in this story?
She's a widow, and I think really she is trying to find her way to move past the grief, but she doesn't want people to know that the grief is really stopping her from living. She lives her life as if everything's okay.
Yeah. But I'm sure she's going to find a way. I have a feeling.
Yes, and you know, sometimes a new start, a new place doesn't hurt.
Yeah, that is true. So let's switch to your hero. What is his first reaction in an emergency situation?
He's a grin and charm my way through it kind of guy. I'm sure the listeners have all met one like him. And he sure wants to use that charm to get his way with things. And he's going to need to find that there's more to his character than the charm, that he can rely on more than just that smile.
Ah, I love that. And what about your villain? Who or what does your villain love the most in this story?
Well, the villain loves satisfying that greed inside, that need for more and more, and especially more that shouldn't be his or hers.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, we always want what we don't have, don't we?
Yes. And for some people, taking what isn't theirs makes it more sweet.
Yes, that is true. It sounds like you created something fictitious as to the setting of this story. But did you base it on a real place, your fictitious place?
No, and I'll tell you that this story is actually part of a multi-author series, and many of us in this series are from Wisconsin, and it is kind of a compilation of the different small towns that we have known, and we've rolled them together to make this one new town, Wisteria, in northern Wisconsin.
Okay, so it's kind of a compilation of
places. Yeah, the flavor mm-hmm. of that rural, the really rural small town where the farms almost meet where the town line ends.
Ah, okay. And what was the hardest part of writing this book?
Well, it's never easy to write with other authors because you want the details from one book to the other to be correct.
Right.
So that has been a huge part for all of us. It was something that so many of us are conscious of in this. We want the reader to feel like they are reading the same town, whichever book they pick up in this series. So that was a challenge for this, definitely. But also for this one, for just personally, for me, I wanted to come at it differently than I do with my historical suspense romances. And so to get that light fun along with it goes almost parallel with that suspense and that whodunit, what's going to happen next. That was a challenge for me with this one.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is always a challenge to keep that balance.
Yeah.
Balance going. We're going to close our short time together, Marissa, with what is one thing you want readers to know about Limburger and larceny?
Oh, there's so many things, but do you like a treasure hunt? This is a good treasure hunt, and I want readers to know that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on my show today, Marissa.
Oh, I appreciate the opportunity.
I'm delighted to welcome Sarah Lynn Lewis to my show. She's going to talk about her latest romantic suspense, Surviving the Deal. So welcome to my show, Sarah Lynn.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So for your heroine in this story, what past experience has had the most impact on making her who she is today?
Well, there's a number of things that are affecting this particular heroine. And for the most part, it is her marriage that dissolved in a very bad situation that left her as a single mom. And so that has affected every aspect of how she moves through the story and how she moves through, her life. Also, she is affected by various other family members who have impacted her life in negative ways and has made her be very internal type person. Like she just keeps everything inside. So she doesn't, she's a wonderful character. I really enjoyed writing her. And she has so many facets. That she could be sweet and charming, but she has a backbone of steel at the same time.
Ah, yeah, I love that. Love we can make our heroines so interesting, and our heroes too. So flipping to your hero, what is holding him back from finding love in this story?
Well, he was hurt in the past. He has a very interesting backstory, which I'm not going to give away. But suffice it to say that there's a physical issue in his life that has caused him to worry about whether or not a woman could ever love him. And he just has steered away from all of it. He doesn't want to have anything to do with marriage or anything else like that. He is a wonderful human being. He cares a lot about the people that work for him. He's an entrepreneur, but yet he keeps himself at arm's length from almost everyone except for his three fraternity brothers who know him better than anyone.
Yeah. I have a feeling the heroine might slip through his defenses.
Oh, yeah, she does. She does it in such subtle ways, too, that he doesn't even know what hit him when it happened.
Yeah, that's often the way it is. I love that. So what about your villain? What is motivating your villain in this story?
Greed, very much greed, and just narcissistic. There's a narcissistic element of her life, and it's interesting. She doesn't come into the story until later on in the story, and there's a couple twists in there that people don't see coming, and I don't want to give it away.
Of course not.
It is greed for the most part.
Okay, so what about the story setting? Why did you pick this particular setting?
It's in New York City, and it makes perfect sense that an entrepreneur would be in New York City, but he's also a billionaire. So as being a billionaire, he has homes all over the world, and it's an interesting it's an interesting twist to the story in that she's a small town girl, well, relatively small town compared to New York City, and he's always lived in New York City. So it's that part of it was kind of interesting. And my daughter lived in New York City for a while, and my son-in-law is from New York City. So I felt comfortable about writing about New York City. So it was, you know, that was basically the impetus to use this particular setting.
Oh, that's wonderful. What about this particular story? What drew you to write this particular story?
Well, that's also an interesting thing. Before I started to learn the craft of writing, and this was probably about 6 or 7, maybe 8 years ago, I started writing this story, and I had probably about, I want to say 3 chapters written. But I figured, you know, I better know a little bit more about story structure and characters and all of that before I jump in and try to write this story. So I actually had an entire outline written out about this story, but it ended up going in a different direction, which I'm really happy with the end product, with the way it came out. So it sat in my future projects folder, I'd say a good 5 or 6 years before I decided to take it in a couple other stories that I had in there and try to weave them together in a fashion to design the series. And that's how it came about. So.
Oh, that's really interesting. Well, I'm so glad you've been sharing about surviving the deal. We have time for one more short question. So what is your book's tagline?
The book's tagline is, "She's not looking for love, he's not looking for a wife, but a deal with eternal consequences is about to change everything." That's it.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for sharing about surviving the deal with my listeners today.
You're welcome, and it was a pleasure being here.
I'm delighted that Lynette Eason is my guest today. She's going to talk about her novella, Snowbound Secrets, in the Whiteout Collection. So welcome, Lynette.
Hi, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So in this Snowbound Secrets, what did your heroine want to be when she grew up? And did she become that person?
She did. She knew she wanted to go into medicine, and she actually became a trauma surgeon. So, but yeah, she did.
Yeah, that's great. And your hero, what is his biggest regret in this story?
Oh, he has so many regrets. His biggest one probably is he didn't always make the best choices as an adult, even as a teen, but as an adult. And as a result, there's some consequences he has to face in this story.
Yeah, well, yeah, that happens. What motivates your villain?
Oh, what motivates my villain? There are several things that motivate this person. Let's just say greed is a part of it.
Okay. And what about the story's setting? Why did you pick this particular setting?
I didn't pick the setting. Danny Petrie picked the setting, and I just went along with it. So, but it was a really fun setting to write, and I had to do a lot of research with it and learn about avalanches in Colorado, with both of which I don't have any experience with, but it was a lot of fun.
I'm glad you don't have any avalanche experience.
Me too.
What was the hardest part of writing this story?
This was interesting because Danny and I had to kind of collaborate on the avalanche and where it happened and how it happened and that kind of thing. And work in current technology, that was interesting because, you know, cell phones, the newer cell phones now have satellite capabilities, and I had to remember that. So I had to add a geomagnetic storm that happened at the same time as the avalanche to knock out the satellite features of these cell phones that could call for help, and I didn't want anybody calling for help.
No, of course not. No calling.
No calling for help.
What is one thing you want readers to know about Snowbound Secrets?
I think I wanted them to know that this novella is an introduction to the new series that releases, well, book one starts releasing in August. So book one releases in August. And so you don't have to read the novella to know what's going on in the series, but it's a cool introduction to how this ranch called Broken Chains Ranch, how this ranch came to be and why it serves the purpose it serves.
Great. Well, thank you so much for sharing about Snowbound Secrets in Whiteout Collection on my show today, Lynette.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
I'm delighted to welcome back Jennifer Chastain about her latest romantic suspense, Fatal Encore. So welcome to my show, Jennifer.
Thank you very much for having me again, Sarah.
So let's start with the heroine. Why did you pick this particular name for her?
Well, since my story is set in Georgia, kind of rural Georgia, and I've always loved the name Shelby ever since, you know, I saw Steel Magnolias eons ago. And because she is a country music star, it just kind of fit with who she is and just with her whole personality. She's kind of sassy, but she's very resilient. Because I did a little research on the name Shelby, and it means willow. If you know willow trees, they're very springy. We used to, as kids, we had one in my grandfather's backyard, and we used to use it, swing on the ropes. We thought we were Tarzan, So that's, so she's very resilient, but she's strong as well. It takes a lot to break her.
Oh, I love that. I love how we can use that, use what the name means for the character as well.
Yes.
And what about your hero in this story? What is holding him back from finding love?
Well, he loved Shelby as a teenager. He's known her all his life, but it's his guilt. He feels so guilty because they had an ice storm of all things 1 year. I think he was a senior in high school, and they were out on a pond that they thought was frozen over. Of course, in the South, ponds don't freeze over as thick as they do up north. And the younger Shelby's younger sister was trying to walk across the pond, and they didn't, and they couldn't get to her in time, and she drowned. So it's his guilt. He's afraid that people, he's going to fail the people that he loves or cause them harm. So it's basically he's guilt-ridden at this point when the story starts.
So what about your villain in this? What's your villain's motivation in this story?
Basically, his is a revenge, love, hate. He was in love with Shelby, and she didn't return that romantic love. And it almost became an obsessive type of love for him. And so he lost her love. He lost his job. He felt betrayal. And that's basically where his, his motivation comes from.
And so you mentioned that this takes place, I think you said, in Georgia. If it is a fictitious place you made up, did you base it on something real?
When my husband and I were living in Chattanooga, Tennessee, we'd always have to drive through Georgia to come back to Charlotte, where all our family is, Charlotte, North Carolina. And you just kind of get a feel because Chattanooga is right on the Georgia-Tennessee line. And I didn't base it on anything. I just based it on personal experiences driving through, Georgia and what I had seen while we were living there in Tennessee. And the name of the town is called Willow Creek. It's completely made up. And I just thought it was fitting that Shelby, his name means willow, comes from Willow Creek. And it's a small southern town, kind of based on where I grew up in New York, but kind of the same feel, small town, but it's a little bit larger than where I grew up. Her town, Willow Creek, is about 10,000-15,000. I grew up in a town of only 2,000 people. So I had to make it a little bit larger to justify having a canine.
Right. And so that what what was the genesis of this story? You mentioned how you kind of came up with the location, but what about the storyline itself? Where did that come from?
I have no idea. Well, first of all, I was asked to be part of a canine anthology. So this is an anthology, three separate stories from Two Dogs Publishing. So I said, okay, I've never written a canine story. What am I going to do with this? And I was just sitting there thinking, you know, trying to come up with different scenarios. And it was just like it hit me upside the head. Oh, she's a country music star. You know, she's at a county fair. We're going to have a bomb scare. But for that, we need a canine. We need a dog to come, you know, sniff out, you know, this, that, and the other. So it's just once I started with this is where she is at that moment, and I knew we all need, all the stories need to be canines. It just kind of snowballed from that one little story idea of her being a country music star, you know, first loves, you know, they're reunited, and it just took off from there.
Oh, I love that. I love it. Sometimes our minds generally come with, you just never know where these ideas come from. So I love
right.
that was really
I'm just like, it hit me out of the blue. Yeah, this is out of the blue. I'm going to
yeah.
thank God, too. But, you know, I
right,
give
right.
us that creative, those creative juices to help us, you know, with the stories and to bring those to the page.
Definitely. So we're about out of time, Jennifer, but let's close with what is one thing you want readers to know about Fatal Encore?
The main theme is forgiveness, and no matter where you are, or what you've done, God will never leave you, and He will always, you know, if you ask for forgiveness, He will forgive you, and we have to look forward and not carry around the weight of our own guilt. We have to release that to the Lord.
Yeah, always such a great message to remember, and I love that we can infuse our books with those kind of truths. So thank you so much for sharing about your book on my show today.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to talk with Elizabeth Goddard, and she's going to share about her latest romantic suspense, Deadly Current. So welcome back to my show, Elizabeth.
Thank you for having me.
So your heroine in this story, how does she feel about love at the start?
Cressida Dane, like all heroines starting out in romantic suspense novels, is wary of love. Especially because in her life, in her world growing up, she's really felt like it was conditional. She felt like love was conditional and it was tangled up with expectations and leverage, people using it, you know, to get what they want from her. So she's really drawn to the idea of a real love, steady devotion. She just doesn't know if she can trust that or if it's safe to do that, especially when her work and her family history keep putting her in the path of danger.
Yeah, that would be difficult to fall in love when there's danger around. But hey, we can do it. We're romantic suspense authors.
That's right. Got to keep it going.
Got to keep it going. So your hero, what holds him back from finding love in this story?
Oh, gosh, a lot, actually. So Braden Sanders is a detective that the reader would have met in Perilous Tides in book two. And he, you know, between his protective instincts and the secrets that are attached to his past work as a DSS agent, and that's a Diplomatic Security Services agent, in case anyone doesn't know what that is, but he brings a lot of pressure to him, with him as he comes to Hidden Bay. And he believes that letting anyone close can put them in the crosshairs and in danger. But until he meets Cressida, who makes it impossible to stay uninvolved, right? But there's a situation revolving around that where he has to get involved in her life. But he also has a secret that once she finds out, she's going to shut him completely out. So that's, you know, he's kind of a push and pull and a tug, but in the end, even if he allowed himself to get close to her, once she finds out the truth, then he is out of the picture.
Ah,
so
Yeah, but I have a feeling that there may be a happy ending for them, but that's not really giving anything away. It's fun how they, we get them there. So your villain in this story, what's the motivation for your villain?
Well, like a lot of villains, it's control, the control of information, of the narrative that's going out, and whatever treasure or truth that's being buried beneath the sea. And the antagonist in the story isn't just chasing a prize, they're chasing power, and they'll use fear and secrets and even accidents to keep anyone from surfacing the past.
Mm. Yeah, sometimes we do want to keep that control. It's an illusion, though. It's an illusion, people. Control is an illusion. Okay. How does the setting move the story forward? And this is one of your Alaska books. Is that correct?
No, actually. This is Hidden Bay is actually my new series set on the Washington Coast.
Oh, Washington Coast. Yeah. Up in that area.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Pacific Northwest. In all of my books, the setting is going to play a major, major role, or usually has always played a major role. And Hidden Bay isn't just about scenery. It's a trap, and it's a clue. And in my story, it's the fog and the cliff and the tides and the shipwreck lore and the isolated coves. And all of that just creates what's called natural choke points for pursuit and rescue. Okay, so in the town, it's a maritime history that feeds Cressida's investigation. She's trying to finish her father's shipwreck book, and about a specific ghost ship is the last one she's researching. And so the whole setting just feeds into it, and it's the ambiance and just the whole feel of, even talking about it, I just can see myself there. So it moves the story forward because everything that happens to them, the setting plays a big role in that.
Ah, yeah. But if I know anything about your books, Elizabeth, is that they usually have a positive message. So what is the underlying positive message of Deadly Currents?
It is, I've got a couple, really, but the truth matters, and so does grace, and so does forgiveness. So even when the past is really ugly, and bringing it into the light can save lives. I mean, sometimes you just have to bring, we're supposed to forget the past, right? But sometimes we need to see the past so that lives can be saved, restored what's broken, and, we can forge a path to move forward. And sometimes the bravest thing isn't really chasing answers. It's choosing to trust when fear is the easiest option. And this story is really a story about forgiveness and just letting go. And it permeates all the characters, all have their own different story and reasons that they need to forgive. But I didn't really, use scripture to preach that, hold over the head. It's just that it's a truth that we all need to face. And I just think it's something even in my own life. I have to remind myself, you've got to forgive. You've got to let go.
Yes, yeah. That is so true. It can be so hard, but that is so true. So we're going to close our short time with, what is your book's tagline?
All right. It's entangled in secrets. They must unravel the past before the current sweeps away their future.
Ooh, I love it. Very good. Okay, well, thank you so much for sharing about Deadly Currents today, Elizabeth.
Thanks for having me.
I'm delighted to welcome back Katie Lee to my show. She's going to talk about her latest romantic suspense, Tracing a Kidnapper's Trail. So welcome to my show, Katie.
Thank you for having me.
So what lie does your heroine believe in this story?
So my heroine believes that the hero is responsible for her brother's overdose death by protecting him when he was struggling. And so there is some animosity between the two of them right from the get-go because of their past history together.
And so speaking of the past, what is your hero's favorite pastime? Not exactly the past.
Definitely. Yes, definitely football. The two friends, her brother and him, had played football together. And that would definitely be his favorite pastime, would have been part of the football team.
So what about the story's setting? What drew you to this particular setting for this story?
Okay, so the story takes place in a canyon. It is kind of modeled after the Palo Duro Canyon in Texas, but it does have its own fictional name, the Harmony Canyon State Park. And I live in Utah, which we have lots of canyons and are absolutely beautiful, but they can also be quite dangerous. And I wanted to write a search and rescue book about having to find a missing child in a canyon, which is basically almost impossible when you think of the size of these locations and so and the dangers that go into heading into them through the night and just the terrain itself. So I wanted to set it in a place that the land itself was an obstacle for them.
Ah, yes. Yeah, definitely. So what about the genesis of this story? Obviously, there's a kidnapping. The title gives that away. But how did you come up with this idea for this story?
So whenever I begin a new book, I seek God first. I pray about what the message is, what scripture he wants me to share, and create a story around that scripture. So in creating this one here, he gave me Colossians 2:13-14, where God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And from there, I created Hunter Shelton and Marley Price. They came to be, and with Hunter, definitely a man with sins needing to be forgiven. And the death of his friend is just one of them. So it's a redemption story at heart based on that Colossians 2.
I love that. And I love as Christian authors, Katie, that we can, you know, infuse scripture, infuse that hope in messages, positive messages in our books. So we only have a few little bit of time left. So once you close with, what is your book's tagline?
All right. I actually have two. The publisher gave me. So the one the publisher put out there is solving an abduction case means a relentless canine manhunt. And that's because it is part of the search and rescue series. Even though these books are standalone, they're not connected whatsoever between each book. Still, it is part of that series brand. And so they wanted to make sure that that canine was front and center for that tagline. But then I have my own that I use because it is a standalone. And I have, he'll overturn every stone to find the missing child, a child that might actually be his own.
Ah, I love that. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we end our time together?
Yes, I would love to tell everyone that I am actually going to be part of a multi-author book signing in Orlando, Florida on March 17th. So if there is someone from the area that wants to come out, they can go to the bn/events and look up the Colonial Plaza Orlando Barnes & Noble. And you'll see it says books, love, and dogs. We're going to have some service animals. We will have, there's seven authors that are taking part. I'm one, Danny Petrie, Rachel Houck, Connie Mann, Jill Kemmerer, Laura Conaway and Kelly Underwood are all going to be there and signing our books. And we would love to have readers come and meet us and hear the panel of Christian romance authors, which is amazing. God has opened this door for us to be at Barnes & Noble to share about our Christian books. We would love to have you.
I love it. I love it.
Yep.
Yes.
March
17th, thanks for sharing,
Colonial
Katie.
Plaza.
Yep. Yeah. Thanks for sharing, Katie, about that and about your book.
Thank you for having me.
I am delighted to welcome back Sarah Sundin to my show. She is going to talk over her new historical romantic suspense, Mists Over the Channel Islands. Welcome back, Sarah.
Thank you for having me again.
So let's talk about your heroine. What did she, in this story, what did she want to be when she grew up, and did she become that person?
She did. Ivy Picot is the daughter of a physician from a long line of physicians. And she's always wanted to be a doctor, and she becomes one. The problem is when her father evacuates from the island of Jersey, she's all alone to run the medical practice, and she's fresh out of college and not well accepted as a female.
Ah, yeah, that would, back then, you write in the World War II era, is that correct? Just to give us some context for those who may not know Sarah's lovely books. Yeah. I don't want them to think that, you know, they're... where the history is. So your hero in this story, what is holding him back from finding love besides, you know, the war?
the war, yes. Well, Gerrit van der Zee is in the Dutch resistance, and he joins Germany's organization TOTE so he can send back maps of German fortifications. But to do so, he has to put on the German uniform. So that is holding him back for love, because he, as he says in the story, any woman who is of any worth would be repulsed by his uniform, and any woman who doesn't mind the uniform is not the woman for him. So he... And he has to keep a secret about his resistance work, because he gets shot for that.
Yeah, that would put a damper on some, you know, date.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. So, but about your villain, what's the redeeming quality about your villain in this story?
This person has a way with words, so that people are charmed and persuaded. This person is also capable of tremendous acts of generosity, sacrificial generosity, so that people think really well of them, and kind of hiding the narcissism that is only concerned about self and anybody who gets in the way.
Mm.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. That you don't have to say more. We know we like to hide things sometimes. So the story setting, obviously the Channel Islands off the coast of England. Why did you pick this story setting?
I've always been fascinated by it. It's the only area of British territory that was occupied by the Germans in World War II. So English-speaking country, area and occupied by the Germans. So that always fascinated me. But as I was writing it, I realized it really intensified it, because they're on an island. The Germans are present. Everywhere else there was resistance, they could run, they could hide, they could cross a border, but on an island, there's no place to hide, there's no place to flee. And so that kind of intensified all those feelings of occupation and really increased the suspense for me.
Oh, definitely. And what about the genesis of the story? How did you come up with this idea?
Well, it started with the Channel Islands. I wanted to write a story set on the island of Jersey, so I researched, and there was one thing that poked its way to the top, was that this network of physicians who cared for escaped slave workers. The Germans brought over about 10,000 foreign workers to build their fortifications, treated them horribly, and they escaped. And these physicians would treat them and help them find shelter. And so I decided I'd have my female physician be a part of this group. And it also paved the way for Gerrit's work with the same group, the organization TOTE, that brought over the slave workers. So it has a nice little conflict between him and Ivy from the very start. But also, his group is bringing over these slave workers. And so I was able to kind of focus on the work that was being done there.
Ah, I love that. That's great.
Sheltering.
Yeah. Yeah, to kind of have those connections between our characters. That's always fun. Always fun to do.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, we are kind of out of time. So let's close with, what is your book's tagline?
Behind enemy lines, adversary and ally become impossible to distinguish.
Oh, very, very suspenseful. I love it. thank you so much for sharing, Sarah, about Mists Over the Channel Islands.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.